Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Todd.
Well,
Todd,
yes, John.
I'm wondering if Larry Summers is in Bob Woodward's new book. That's what I'm wondering.
Everybody else is, right? Everybody else seems to be. John, here's something that's setting the Washington talking heads alight, not to mention every Twitter feed of every journalist in the city here. Another look at President Obama's war in Afghanistan through the eyes of Washington Post reporter and editor, you said it, Bob Woodward. This is something Robert Gibbs is going to be asked about later on today at the White House. I don't think there's any doubt about it, because Woodward's new book called Obama's War shows President Obama and his national security team bitterly divided over strategy in the war in Afghanistan. The book is set to be released on Monday, but New York Times White House correspondent Peter Baker obtained a very early copy, and he joins us now. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Peter, Bob Woodward was given extensive access, as he always is, to administration officials for this book, and he also interviewed the president. What do you see as some of the most interesting revelations here?
Well, you know, he takes everybody through a narrative chronology of how the president has evolved from the candidate he was to the war president he is today. And it's a narrative we've heard before over these last number of months about disagreements about how to go forward in Afghanistan. But as always, Bob Woodward manages to fill out that picture with a great deal more detail and a great deal of sort of sensational nuggets that really paint a picture of a pretty tough process inside the administration. People disagreeing pretty vigorously with each other and not always fans of each other.
And it also seems to show the president himself not having much confidence in the war effort, or at least pushing his advisors for a way out.
He's clearly nursing a lot of doubts, absolutely. He did keep pushing advisors for a way out. He said at various points, I want an exit strategy. He privately told the Vice President Joe Biden to be aggressive in pushing his alternative plan to a build-up. In the end, he didn't go with the Vice President's plan, but that's part of the process. He wanted to satisfy himself before he approved additional troops, that he had looked at other options available to him, and in the end, he came to the decision that sending the 30,000 troops last December was the right one.
Right, but your report on this book and others in the Washington Post itself, Peter Baker, suggest that the president really couldn't find an ally in his own administration for getting out of Afghanistan. I mean, it says that he kept getting recommendations back with troop increases, and eventually he kind of gave in. Or am I overstating it?
Well, it's true that nobody in his close-in circle was for actually pulling out of Afghanistan. Everybody recognized that would be, they thought, a disaster, actually, for a lot of different reasons. But they were torn about what to do from there forward. Do you send in a lot more troops? What kind of strategy do you have? Do you just go after al-Qaeda? Do you have to protect the population? And there were different camps in that regard. You had, on the one hand, obviously, General McChrystal, who had asked for 40,000 more troops, and his ally, General Petraeus, Admiral Mullen, the chairman of the Joint Chief, Secretary Gates at the Pentagon, even Secretary Clinton, State Department. On the other side, you had the Vice President and a number of others, including his own National Security Advisor, Tony Blinken, Doug Lute, the Afghan War Advisor in the White House, General Cartwright, the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, all of them sort of looking at a different option, a hybrid option, lower troops, not as robust a force. And there was a real vigorous, debate that played out.
Well, Peter Baker, it is certainly my mission to try to get you in trouble at the White House briefing today, if I possibly can. Is this a narrative, and you mentioned it before, Woodward is fond of creating these narratives. Is this a narrative of an outsider coming to Washington and getting told how things are going to work? Or is this a narrative of the Clinton versus the Obama gang within the White House? Or is it something entirely different?
Well, there is obviously a division within this administration of what Bob and others have called tribes, and there is the Clinton tribe and the Obama campaign tribe. And it is a story of an outsider to some extent coming to Washington and learning what it's like to be commander-in-chief. Nobody can be prepared for this job until the day you actually experience it. And he had to come in there with two wars already raging on day one and figure out what way he wanted to go forward here. So, you know, it's been a real interesting evolution for him, and I think that there's all sorts of different angles of looking at this.
But, you know, from your perspective as a White House correspondent there for the New York Times, any insights from this book as to Obama, the leader? Any surprises from your perspective? And are we going to see an ambivalent Barack Obama here?
Well, I think you do see a Barack Obama who has struggled with this decision. I think we've known that. The reporting has shown that over the last couple years. But this obviously brings it into pretty stark relief. For instance, in this book, the president is quoted telling Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican, that he has to have a July 2011 timetable to begin a withdrawal from Afghanistan because he, among other things, because I can't lose the whole Democratic Party. So you see, you know, all the different factors that are going into his equation here, recognizing that the public isn't behind this war. He says at the beginning when he comes in, he says, I think I've got about 2 years with the public. That's about as long as they'll give me on this. So he's trying to, you know, factor in all the different things that any commander-in-chief has to do, which includes the military requirements on the ground, but also the inevitable politics and issues of whether public support behind a war should factor into how you run it.
Peter Baker, before we go, you know, Stanley McChrystal's head rolled after the last leaks to Rolling Stone. Any heads going to roll here? Who's leaking, do you think?
Well, that's a good question. I think a lot of people will be asking that very question. If Stan McChrystal had to go because of things that were said that were intemperate or disparaging about others, certainly a lot of that in this book. We'll see if anything comes out of that.
But who do you think is squealing? Is it Biden? Is it Gates? Who's talking to Woodward here?
I think everybody talks to Woodward.
And that's probably what makes it a book worth picking up. And Peter Baker of the New York Times got his copy early. And that's why he's in the Times this morning and on our air talking about it. Peter Baker, New York Times White House correspondent, talking about Bob Woodward's latest book, his 16th book. This one's called Obama's War. And it shows some serious dissension in the ranks in the advisor corps in Barack Obama's inner circle. Thanks, Peter.